Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Alrighty. Bismillah walhamdulillah, as-salatu was-salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome everyone to our 4th episode of the 5 series, alhamdulillah. We have come to now the end of the second week. So far, so good, alhamdulillah, right? So we've been enjoying kind of like each other's company and also being able to reflect over our religion, being able to reflect over the relationship that we have with Allah in our lives. And so we ultimately, you know, last week, we ended up talking about the differences between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and his reward, his forgiveness, and also his anger, his disappointment. And we kind of brought to light a little bit of the differences between those two. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean when he says that he displeases certain things? What does Allah azza wa jal mean when he loves certain things? And so yes, our last Monday was a really good segue into our conversation today. And the conversation today and the question that we want to pose today is, does Allah really care about me and the details in my life? A lot of times as believers, we have certain struggles where, you know, and this is very normal. And I want to make sure that everyone understands this, that as believers, it is very, very normal to want to have a very personal, intimate relationship with Allah. Because that, in reality, is what beautifies your connection with God, is how personal is it? How intimate is it? If we don't feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally caring for us right here, right now, that every prayer that we pray, every dua that we make, every session of dhikr that we engage in, if those are not meaningful and personal and intimate, then it's not going to have a really big effect on our lives when it comes to our relationship with Him. So today's conversation is going to heavily revolve around a question: does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really, really care about me and the details in my life? So I want to actually post this question now, as I do it at the beginning of every session, is I want everyone to reflect over a moment in which Allah took care of you in a difficult time. All right, I'm going to post this, and I'm going to ask everyone to reflect over this. I'm going to pin this question or this comment. Reflect over a moment in which Allah took care of you in a difficult time. When was a moment in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of you in a moment of difficulty for you? And when we start to reflect over this, I was actually having a conversation with a community member right before this class right now, is the more beautiful of a relationship that we have with Allah is only as much as we reflect over our relationship with Allah. What's good? What needs improvement? What needs to become a little bit better? These are the questions that we have to ask when it comes to our relationship with God Himself. So let's go ahead, first and foremost, talk about our relationship with Allah. First and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about love in so many different aspects of the Quran. So many different parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions the idea of love. And He uses two different words, and we'll talk about that today. And I want everyone to kind of keep in mind these two different words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses when it comes to defining His love for humanity. One word that we're going to talk about is the word rahmah. Okay? And rahmah, to a lot of us, means mercy. It means, you know, forgiveness. It means leniency. It means understanding our human flaws and mistakes. That's one word, rahmah. The other word that we want to keep in mind is the word hub. The word hub in Arabic also means love. It means a form of love between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. So what is the difference between rahmah and the word hub? Are those two, can those two be used interchangeably? Or is there a difference between Allah's rahmah and Allah's hub when it comes to His love? Okay. And Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually mentions in this beautiful chapter of the Quran, He says, Allah will bring forth in place of them. He's talking about a group of people that encompass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And he's talking about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forward a group of people and he will love and who he will love and they will love him. Okay. In this specific surah, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about anybody who sticks with the faith of Islam. Because Islam is challenging for people sometimes. Think about a time in your life where Islam has been a very difficult challenge for you. You know, you wanted to do something, but Islam tells you that that's actually... Or you wanted to stay away from something, or you felt lazy about something, but Islam tells you that it's actually good for you. You should go about and do it. And so in this specific verse, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about us in this sense, where he says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِي اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّنَهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about people that he loves and they will love him in return. And then in other chapters of the Quran, in other instances of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his rahmah, his mercy, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, we talked about this last on Monday, when he says that my wrath is severe, but also understand that my mercy is greater than it, right? We talked about this. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghalabi, right? That I have anger, I have disappointment, but always understand that my mercy is always superseding that wrath, that anger, that disappointment, okay? And in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he also talks about this in a different kind of light. He says, in Surah Al-A'raf, he says, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He says that my mercy encompasses all things, okay? He says, with my punishment, certain people will end up tasting certain consequences in this life, but وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, that my mercy encompasses everything. You know, the default status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always been mercy. You know, and this is what we brought up last time, is that we should not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the default status of anger. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an angry God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a God that is mean and vengeful and punishing. Rather, the default status of Allah azza wa jal is a God of mercy and a God of love. In fact, the word hub is actually used over 60 times in the Quran. The word hub or love of obedience is used over 60 times in the Quran in and of itself, right? And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks extensively about what would happen if his love was not given to humanity. What would happen if his mercy was not given to humanity? Because his mercy, we talked about those two words, right? Rahmah and hub. What's the difference between these two? The idea of rahmah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rahmah over everything. Okay? His mercy encompasses everything. Kulli shay'in. Right? Every single part of this world involves some form of Allah's mercy. And the scholars even say that the beauty of Allah's mercy is that it touches people who don't even fulfill the rights of God himself. Right? That if a person doesn't even believe in Allah, they will still be affected by Allah's mercy. Can you guys think of that? I'm going to kind of ask you guys this question in the Facebook Live and the Instagram Live. What are some examples of those who don't fulfill the rights of Allah and still reap the mercy of Allah? I'll pause for a second. Give me an example of those who do not give Allah his rights, but nonetheless enjoy Allah's rahmah and Allah's mercy. Can anyone think of that right now on the chat box or in the comment section? And just go ahead and type it in and let's see what people's thoughts are. There are so many examples of this, of people who don't actually give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due diligence, but Allah, despite of that, gives them everything. I'll give you guys a couple of examples here. It says here, the scholars say here, that this is why Allah provides provision for everyone, okay? Provision for everyone, even those who disbelieve in him. Despite our sins, he gives us food, air, shelter, health, and life. This is why the Quran oftentimes refers to even the idea of rain as rahmah, right? Like, you don't really ask for rain. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives it to them, right? He gives it to us. You know, subhanAllah, very good. Somebody said, children, those, you know, under the age of 7 or 10 is a very, very good example, right? Those children don't even really worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah has given these kids parents and an upbringing. Murad says, Anytime we miss a prayer and we can still see and hear and our bodies work, very good. Very, very good. I'll actually do one even more. Actually, let's see what somebody else says. Using Allah-given faculties to disobey Him. That's a good example of how we sometimes don't live up to our bargain, right? We don't live up to our side of the bargain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you guys another example. How many people on earth testify that there is no God? How many people on earth testify that there's no God, right? There's like a major movement nowadays of, you know, people who don't believe in a creator. They don't believe in organized religion. But you can make the argument that day after day after day, those people are still given blessings in their lives. They wake up every single day. Those people can see every single day. Those people have the ability to eat every single day. Some of those people even have families who love them, right? These are people who don't even acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence. And Allah yet continues to facilitate the blessings in their lives, right? Sophia, technically everyone who can give Allah his due rights. Very good point. Very, very good point. That's actually a very profound point. Somebody on our Facebook live stream says that, you know, how can we even measure up to giving Allah his due rights, right? Every single day of our lives, we slip up sometimes. We forget him in certain instances. We may delay a prayer in certain instances. We all fall into the category of not giving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his due rights. But even with that, Allah's mercy encompasses everything, right? It encompasses kulli shay'in. It covers everything. So that's one very specific example and one very specific kind of aspect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Another aspect of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the fact that He can do anything and He has knowledge of everything. You know, a very big fundamental question that we ask is, if Allah is so great, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so magnificent, how on earth does He have the time or the attention to pay me and my life any sort of attention, right? And this is a very real question, right? When human beings, unfortunately, we get busy, or we're struggling with, you know, putting organization into our days and on our months and our weeks, we sometimes lose that personal touch with the finer details in life. For example, a friend who you may used to have called every single week of your life until you started working overtime or working in a more demanding job, you may forget to phone that friend once a week. You may have forgotten. And a lot of people, we ask this about Allah. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of so much. He takes care of so many different things in life. He takes care of so many intricate details on earth and other creations. How on earth does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have time? How does He have time to take care of me? Well, Allah actually answers this in the Quran in Surah Al-An'am. He says that there is not a leaf that falls except which Allah knows about it. There is not a single leaf that falls except which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually knows about it. How beautiful is that? He's kind of answering our question before we even get to vocalize it, verbalize it. People are worried about if Allah can pay attention to them. Allah says, there's not a leaf that falls except that is encompassed by my knowledge, subhanAllah. And He says that if you didn't have mercy upon you, if you didn't have mercy upon you, that there would be no chance of us getting into paradise. And we actually talked about this on Monday. The Prophet ﷺ, he was sitting around his companions, and the Prophet said that no person's deeds alone will get them into paradise. And the companions of the Prophet say, وَأَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, and you as well, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And the Prophet ﷺ says, وَأَنَا, and me as well. Without Allah's mercy, there would be no chance of any of us getting into paradise. So one form of Allah's love is rahmah, is His mercy. That's one form of love. And one thing I want to kind of share with everybody is that, isn't it very true that people show love in different ways? Think about this growing up. Right. Not every single parent shows love in the same way. I know a lot of us have dreams of our parents being like, hey, I love you, right? I want you to have a great day at school and make sure that you learn a lot, and I'll be here waiting for you as soon as you get back, right? All the Daisies in this like live stream right now, they're like, yeah, that's never happened for me, bro. Right? The way that my parents show love is they send food with me, my biryani that I get embarrassed to eat in the cafeteria in front of everybody else. But that's their way of showing love, right? one parent's way of showing love may be that they cook breakfast for you every day before you go to work, right? Or go to school. One way a sibling may show love is picking up like a packet of your favorite cookies on the way home, or they just drop it off to your house, right? That may be a person's way of showing love. Some people show love by saying, I love you. And some people show love by buying small things for you. People have different ways of showing love. And that's the same exact thing with Allah. Allah shows love by having mercy on us sometimes, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows his love by taking care of us in every single thing we do in our lives, right? Whether you wake up in the morning, you're able to open your eyes, that's literally Allah saying, I love you. How many of y'all thought about this? How many of y'all thought that every moment you are able to walk is a moment where Allah says, I love this creation of mine? Every moment you step out and you see the sun and you see nature is Allah's way of saying, I love this creation, so I'm going to give this creation a blessing. Even with people who do not love him in return. Even with people who do not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in return, Allah says, I love this creation so much, I'm going to continue to give him or give her moments of blessings and happiness in this life, just for a chance for him or her to turn back to me. You know, it's really amazing. Mufti Kamani one time, I remember most of you, if you guys are familiar with Mufti Kamani, Mufti Saab one time, he mentioned that, you know, Allah is like that relationship with like a friend that we have who we neglect for years and years and years, you know? And that friend may stick around for a week, 2 weeks, a month, and even like a great friend may stick around for a year. But eventually, that friend will leave us. Because people lose hope in the negligence of others, right? If you don't come to me when I need you, or if you don't, you know, have enough time for me, I will eventually leave and go and seek a friendship with somebody who clearly cares about me more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that one friend who never leaves your side, no matter how many years you neglect him. And even in those years of neglect, Allah will give you things, even though you don't ask for it, you don't even acknowledge him, and he gives it to you. Subhanallah. You know, that's a very, very powerful point that one of our teachers at Qalam made that always stuck with me in my life, right? So now, what's the difference between rahmah and hub? What's the difference between rahmah and the word hub? The word hub is the second type of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And allow me to explain this. Hub, or this unique, very intimate type of love in Islam, spiritually, is the love that is reserved for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everyone starts off with rahmah. Y'all understand me so far? Everyone starts off with rahmah. Now, how do you get to hub? That belongs to the people who are obedient of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, how do you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You follow through with things that he loves, right? So there is not a single place in the Quran that actually mentions hate of anyone in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah hates somebody. There are moments where the Quran says Allah is displeased with somebody. Allah may be angry with somebody. Allah may not love somebody in a certain situation, but the word yakra, or hate, is never used in the Quran. The word hub is used over 60 times. The word hate is used 0 times. Okay? It only says that Allah does not have hub for certain types of people, oppressors, arrogant people, and liars, other people. So hub is that next level. Hub is related to rahmah, right? Because the people who have Allah's love in terms of his hub will also have his rahmah. Right? But not everyone who is encompassed by Allah's rahmah will have his hub. Y'all understand what I'm saying here, right? Those who have Allah's hub may also have Allah's rahmah, right? But those who have Allah's rahmah by default may not have Allah's hub. So we want to be the people who have Allah's hub, his love, right? His sincere, intimate, really personal love. And so where can we find this? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in several different ayat in the Quran, the people who have the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of these is the doers of good. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna Allah yuhibbul muhsinin. In Allah, yuhibbul muhsinin, the people who do good, the people who sincerely do good and try their hardest to stay under the rules and regulations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid out for us. The next time you go and you want to engage in an activity or a thought that's not good for you and you restrain yourself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has qualified you as a person who's a muhsin, a person who tries to embody good in their days, in their lives, right? And muhsinin, the root word of muhsinin is the word ihsan. The word ihsan. The word ihsan means a person who is excellent. They try extremely hard. Islam does not tell you to be perfect, but Islam tells you to try extremely hard. And those are the people that Allah calls muhsinin. Okay. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, I'm just giving you guys examples. There's way more of these, by the way, right? If you want to learn the exact descriptions of who Allah loves, just go and read the Quran. Every few chapters will have paragraphs upon paragraphs upon paragraphs of inna Allah yuhibbu or wallahu yuhibbu, right? Verily Allah loves these or verily Allah loves those, right? I'm just giving you guys a couple of examples. The second example is Allah says in the Quran, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." Allah says, "Verily, I love those who are constantly repentant." Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin. They are constantly asking me for forgiveness. That is a category of people who Allah loves. You want to gain the love of Allah? Constantly reach out to Him for His forgiveness. Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin. The ones who constantly go back to Him whenever they make a mistake. They don't shy away from Him. They run to Him whenever they make a mistake. You know, parents will always tell you this, by the way. Parents, if there are any parents watching here, parents will always say, when my kids make a mistake, I'd rather them not hide it from me. I'd rather they come to me and talk to me about it. A parent's worst nightmare is their child, their son or daughter, making a mistake and hiding that mistake from them for the rest of their lives. A parent's success is when a son or daughter makes a mistake, and wallahi, the son or daughter will make a mistake. If you're a parent and you don't think your kids will make mistakes, then you're in delusion, like La La Land, right? Or you already reached like Jannatul Firdaus Al-A'la on this earth. It's not true. It won't happen. Right? Like you cannot get a son or a daughter who's mistake-free. You will never have a son or a daughter who is error-free. Every person in their life makes a mistake. This is actually a narration from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, that every son or daughter of Adam will inevitably make a mistake. But those who are the best of those who make mistakes are the ones who repent. And Allah says that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Those who ask for forgiveness and those who purify themselves by asking for forgiveness. Okay, so a way of purifying yourself is actually asking Allah for his maghfirah. Okay, number three, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Allah loves those who are patient and steadfast. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Verily, Allah loves those who are sabirin. Anybody know the root word of sabirin? Can anybody guess here? What's the root word of sabirin, y'all? It should kind of like ring a bell right away. You're like, oh, it kind of sounds like this, right? What is the word what's the root word of the word sabirin? Allah is describing a group of people. What characteristic do they embody? Sabirin. What is it, y'all? Anybody? I know there's like a weird lag with like Instagram and Facebook Live. Very good. Sab ba ra. Sabr, right? Sabr, very, very good. Which means to be patient, to be persevering, to be poised, to have fortitude, to have resilience to difficulty, right? Very good. Sabr, very, very good. Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who withstand difficulty. Allah loves those who withstand the tests that they go through in life, the challenges that hit them in their life. Wallahi, Allah loves those people. The people who try to hold firm, right? Asluha thabit is what it said in the Quran. The example of a believer is the example of a firmly rooted tree, right? Firmly rooted tree that no matter what wind or storm hits them, they will stand firm. Yes, their branches will sway in the wind. Their leaves sometimes will blow away, but their roots will be stuck in the ground because they are steadfast people. They are people of patience. They are people of fortitude. They are people of persevering behavior. These people will not be uprooted in their lives. Allah says, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves the people who are described as sabirin. What's another one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that Allah loves those who fear him. Muttaqeen. Those who are God conscious, right? Those who are described as muttaqeen, the people who are very conscious of him. Not fear just for the sole purpose of fearing, but fear because they know how powerful and magnificent he is. Remember, we talked about this on Monday, that the people who really benefit from their relationship with Allah are the people who strike a balance between fear and hope. The people who really benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's relationship are the people who can balance between fear and hope. They fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's disappointment, and they hope for his love and his reward. So Allah says, those who are described as muttaqeen, the people who fear me, okay? Another one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are those who, inna allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Inna allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. What does that mean, y'all? Mutawakkilin comes from the word tawakkul, which means to trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I love those who trust me. I love those who put their trust in me. Whenever they go through a difficulty in their life, they put their faith in me and they say, Allah, I trust you. Allah, I'll let you handle my affairs. Allah, I trust you to handle the difficult decisions in my life. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Once you have made your decision, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your faith, put your trust in God. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah loves those who put their trust in him. Last but not least, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah loves those who act justly, okay? إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. مُقْسِطِين means those who are extremely justly in their life. Whenever they see something bad happening, they do whatever they can to remedy that evil. Whenever they see somebody being oppressed, they do whatever they can to negate that oppression. Whenever somebody sees something that's going on that's wrong, they go back and they refute that wrong with doing something right. Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbul muqsitin." I love those who are just. The people who are just in their lives, okay? And so to end today's session, inshallah, I want everyone to learn a dua that is really beautiful. And this dua, by the way, y'all, is actually a dua that the narrations say that Prophet Dawood alayhi salam, he made. All right, so everyone pay attention, really, really pay attention here. Prophet Dawood alayhi salam is said to have made a dua where he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuka. I know it's kind of like a little bit of like a tongue twister here, right? It says, Allahumma inni as'aluka. Oh Allah, I'm asking you. As'aluka means you're asking Allah for something. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka. I'm asking you to allow me to love you. Okay? Allow me to love you, Ya Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka. Wa hubba man yuhibbuka. And to love those who you love, O Allah. To love those who you love, Ya Allah. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka. Wa hubba man yuhibbuka. Right? Oh Allah, I'm asking you to allow me to love you, and I'm asking you to allow me to love the ones who you love, okay? The ones who you love, or the ones who love you, okay? And then he says in the narration, وَعَمَلَ الَّذِي يُبَلِّغُنِي حُبَّكَ. And he says that, and to love whatsoever, to love what brings me nearer to your love. This is a beautiful, beautiful dua, y'all. So this dua in English, it says, oh Allah, allow me to love you and to love those who love you and to love whatever brings me nearer to your love. This is a dua that we all need to memorize. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuka wal amal alladhi yuballighuni hubbaka. A beautiful dua that gains the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so what can we take away from today? What can we reflect over? Number one is that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divine. The love of Allah azza wa jal is divine. It's something that is extremely, extremely spiritual, okay? It gets us through life. It gets us through life, and eventually it gets us to paradise. And in Surah Al-Bayyinah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a group of people that will be so happy with Him. They will be so happy with Him. جَزَاءُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّةٍ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُمْ. They are, the Allah is pleased with them, radiallahu anhum, wa radu an, and they're pleased with Allah. ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ خَشْيَ رَبَّهُ. And those are the people who fear and love their Lord. Okay? And I want to end on one small narration today, and I wanted to kind of shed a little bit of light to everybody. There was a beautiful narration, we'll end with this, and so we can open it up for Q&A. So everyone who has questions, if you're watching the live stream, go ahead and press that question card at the bottom of your screen, the bottom of your live stream, and go ahead and throw in your question that we can, inshallah, benefit from, and we'll try to shed some light on it. This last narration I wanted to share with everybody today. It says that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will address the people of paradise. He says, Ya ahlal jannati, Allah will address the people of paradise himself. Okay, and they will reply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say, لَبَيْكَ رَبَّنَا وَسَعْدَيْكَ وَخَيْرُ الْكُلُّ فِي يَدَيْكَ. That our Lord, we are present and ready to carry out your orders, Ya Allah. All good is in your control. So the people of paradise are having a conversation with Allah, and Allah is having a conversation with the people of paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the people of paradise, He says, هَلْ رَدِيتُمْ. The phrase hal raditu means, are you happy? Are you pleased? He's asking the people of paradise, hal raditum, are you happy here? And the people of paradise, they look to Allah and they say, Ya Allah, how can we not be happy? We're in paradise, right? What's there better than paradise? You know, you have given us what you have not bestowed upon the rest of your creation. You have given us something that is completely selective, Ya Allah. How can we not be happy? And then Allah will look at the people of paradise and Allah will say, should I not grant you something superior to all of this? Should I not give you something that's even better than paradise? And the people of paradise, they say, what can be better than paradise? What on earth is better than Jannah, Ya Allah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I will grant you my radiyya. The word radiyya means my pleasure. He goes, I will grant you my pleasure and I will never be angry with you ever again. And Allah says, that is better than Jannah itself. Can you guys imagine that? Allah says, what's better than paradise itself is me being pleased with you and me never ever being discontent with you ever again in your life, subhanAllah. All right, so let's get to some questions really quickly. So the first question is, what would you say to someone who says, why should I follow a God that threatens to put me in hellfire if I don't follow what he says? Very good question. Very, very good question. How do you respond to a person who says, why should I love or follow a God that tells me that Jannah or Jahannam is actually a reality? The answer to that is very simple, is that if we are to truly be a people who deserve paradise, first and foremost, you have to accept that there's something called paradise and something that's called hellfire. Because the reality of the fact is that if there was only a paradise, then there would be no reason to live in this life. That's first and foremost, right? Is to agree that if there was nothing besides paradise, then there would be no point in this life, right? The existence of us in this life means that there has to be a dual outcome, whether it's paradise or something other than paradise, okay? And so therefore, logically, there has to be a way to get to that paradise. If, for example, I can do whatever I want to do in my life, live whatever self-satiating way I want to live my life, I don't give a care in the world for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do to attain goodness, then how is it fair that a person who gets paradise is the exact same as a person who deserves hellfire? There has to be something unique about those who deserve paradise. I cannot murder, pillage, harm, steal, do extremely immoral things and deserve the same outcome as a person who prays, who gives charity, who is kind, who is generous, who is sympathetic, who is empathetic, who is kind to their parents, merciful to their young ones. The end result for those two types of people cannot be the same. But the best way to answer that question, though, to Alishba, who actually asked that question, is to say that we all have the same exact way, the same exact capability of reaching paradise as everyone else on this earth does. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not put us in systemic failure. You know, systemic failure, systemic bias, systemic racism is a product of human flaw. Allah does not put us in systems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives every human being the same exact chance of attaining his Jannah. Now, whether you are born a Muslim or born a Christian, now that's a different story. But who is to say that a Christian will be judged the same way a Muslim will be judged? That's a very, very interesting thing to think about. Who is to say that a person who was born into a practicing Muslim household is the same as a person who was born into an irreligious household? The God that I believe in, the Allah that I believe in, judges everyone in their own situation. So to answer your question, why should I follow a God that threatens to put me in hellfire if I don't follow his orders? Be honest with yourself for a second. Be honest with yourself and say, paradise and hellfire are realities. Why is it fair that a person who does harm their entire life is the same as a person who does good their entire life? But everybody has the same standard of potential when it comes to reaching paradise, okay? Very good. Second question here that we'll address is, does Allah love sinners? Does Allah love sinners? Absolutely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves all of his creation. You know, there's a narration that says that if all of us were created to be sinless people, perfect people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would wipe away all of those creation, recreate us as beings who make mistakes, but who ask for his forgiveness. Subhanallah. So Allah is saying that he loves people who make mistakes and ask for forgiveness more than he loves people who are perfect. Okay, people who are perfect. So does Allah love sinners? Absolutely he does. Who aren't sinners? Who are people who aren't sinners? If you know somebody who doesn't sin, I want you to bring them to me because they should be angels. They don't belong on this earth. So does Allah love sinners? Absolutely, he does. Okay, let's answer a question on Facebook really quickly. What are some signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us? What do you say to someone who doesn't think Allah loves them? What are some signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you? I say this as a question, as an answer that my teacher always gives me. That every single day you wake up is a sign that Allah loves you. Every day that you wake up is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Every day you have blessings in your life, even if it may be one, is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. The moments that you have any sort of happiness in your life is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Even the moment that you go through difficulty is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, because you're able to go through that difficulty and come out the other end. That is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves you. We got time enough for one more question really quickly. If we have done if we have done zina with a person, are we supposed to marry him? That is another question that we should answer for another time. This is more of a conversation addressing, you know, if we, you know, do things that are, does Allah still love us? If you do make mistakes, major mistakes, right, major sins, then continue to ask Allah for forgiveness. There is nothing out of the rahmah of Allah, and that's how I'll answer that question, okay? Last question is, what do you say to someone who doesn't think that Allah loves them? the way you encourage people that Allah loves them, first and foremost, it's actually a twofold step. Number one, always start teaching people Islam under the lens of love rather than the lens of punishment. Don't ever teach people Islam under the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes people who do this, dislikes people who that, dislikes people who do this. Teach people first and foremost that Allah loves those who do this or Allah loves those who do that. I gave you guys the example on Monday about I can say two things that are the same thing extremely differently. Number one, if I don't study for an exam, I'll fail that exam. If I don't, you know, get a job, I will not be able to make money. I can say the exact same thing in a different way. If I do study for the exam, I will get an A. If I do apply for that job and get it, I will be able to pay for things that I want. Those are the exact same way of saying the same thing, but different ways, right? So always use wisdom and hikmah when it comes to teaching people about Islam. And so we'll stop there, inshallah. I know we're getting a lot of questions and a lot of curiosity here, which is an amazing thing. We're having a lot of interactions in this class. We hope that, inshallah, all of you guys are enjoying it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our sessions. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be people who get closer to Him and who know that all of us are encompassed by the mercy and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may all of us be able to get closer to Allah every single day of our lives. And may Allah azza wa jal continue to give us His love and His mercy and His forgiveness. And may all of you grow a sincere love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your hearts. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Ameen. Rabbil alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu alayk. Wa jazakum wa khairan. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And we will see you guys again on Monday for our next session. And just a little preview of our next session, guys. It's going to be the role of the messenger in our lives. So now we talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 2 weeks. And now, inshallah, on Monday coming up, we'll be talking about the role of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on Monday at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We'll see you guys, inshallah, next week.